Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our United Good Friday service. My name is Roy Patton, and I am the vacancy convener at Hamilton Road Presbyterian Church of Bangor. It would have been a real pleasure to have welcomed you, our friends from Hamilton Road Baptist Church, into our church building across the road, and for us together to have shared in the fellowship of the Lord's table. Yet I'm delighted that we will still have the opportunity to share in fellowship together, to express our partnership in the gospel, to sit under God's word with Hamilton Road Baptist pastor Johnny McLaughlin, to look to the cross where Jesus gave his life for us. We can never exhaust what the cross means, but my hope for you is that you will get a real sense that his sacrifice was necessary because of our sin, and a real and true demonstration of God's love, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. My hope is that together we will experience a deep sense of gratitude to the Lord as we appreciate once again the lengths to which Christ went to reconcile us to God. Our prayer is that this service will be a means of blessing to us all as we enter into this weekend, especially in this unique time in which we find ourselves. We have come to appreciate even more the fellowship that we have in Christ, and our desire is that as we continue to worship online, you will experience the power and presence of Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Let us worship God. Let us praise the name of the Lord.
Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down.
My gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. pray. Lord Jesus, we feel conflicted about calling the day of your crucifixion good, that there had to be a day when you would take the judgment for our sin is not good at all, but that you would freely, fully, and gladly give yourself for us on the cross is never to be surpassed goodness. It is unparalleled good. From your heart and cross came these two impassioned cries, Father, forgive them, and my God, why have you forsaken me? The first required the second secured the first. Together, they humble our hearts, silence our words, and fuel our worship. And then there's the third, this changes everything cry, it is finished. There's nothing more to be done concerning our salvation. Once and for all, perfectly and fully, we have been reconciled to God. The just died for the unjust, the beautiful one for the broken ones, the Lamb of God for the rebels from God. We praise, bless, and adore you, Lord Jesus. A million years plus into our life in the new heaven and new earth, we will still be filled with childlike wonder and ceaseless gratitude for the gospel. Because you were fully forsaken, we are forever forgiven. Because you exhausted God's judgment against our great unrighteousness, we now live by the gift of your perfect righteousness. Because you love us so extravagantly, we can love each other with kindness and hope. We bow our heads in awe, raise our hands in praise, and surrender our lives with joy. So amen, we pray, in your all-glorious, all-graceful name, Lord Jesus.
To me, Good Friday is a very humbling day because the innocent Son of God showed his love in an amazing way for me by suffering on a cross in the most humiliating way.
He died for us, and he died for our salvation, and that we could be with him forever. And there was so much hope in that darkness.
This was the most important time in all of human history. This was when Jesus Christ took the punishment for my sin.
When I think about Good Friday, I am always struck by the contrast between Jesus' suffering and the immeasurable love that God has for us as humankind.
But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed.
That first Good Friday, God allowed his Son to receive the beating, the suffering, the punishment and death that I deserved.
The way Jesus not only faced the physical suffering of the cross, but crucially took the weight of all of humanity's sins upon himself so that we could be redeemed and have a relationship with God provides such a clear picture of what we mean to him.
Hope is coming. It is just around the corner. But I need to surrender afresh.
What stands out to me the most is his separation from God. When he cried, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. On that Friday, Jesus saved me by his blood.
We have the sobering reminder that it was my own sin that led him to be crucified.
Good Friday was the day that my debt was paid in full. The slate was wiped clean and all my sins were gone forever.
Good Friday to me shows me just how much Jesus loves me because he gave his life for our sins.
What does Good Friday mean to me? It means to me that I'm loved.
Today we remember when Jesus died on the cross to provide atonement for our sins. That's what Good Friday means to me.
We have a Heavenly Father who's a holy God who detests all sin, including mine, and that his plan of salvation demands that there is a sacrifice for that sin, and that was the Lord Jesus.
How much does Jesus love us? Enough to put his arms out wide, be nailed to a cross, and allow himself to go through it.
When I first think of Good Friday, I think of Jesus' pain and suffering, and it's hard to think of this as good. But knowing what happened 3 days later makes me think of hope and of forgiveness.
The judgment and death of an innocent man, the Son of God, the single greatest sacrifice in all of human history, an act of love and forgiveness for all of humanity.
So great, who bore my sin, the awful weight. He took it all to Calvary and paid the price so I go free. No greater mercy ever shown, no greater love was ever known. Jesus washed my sins away and cleared the debt I could not pay. Redeemed.
Matthew 27:11-26. Jesus before Pilate. Now, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now, at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner that they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So, when they gathered, Pilate said to them, "Who do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife had sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now, the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two would you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they all shouted the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood will be on us and upon our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified.
As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, King of the Jews."
Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him.
sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Alleluia, what a Saviour, bearing shame and scorn.
The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 to 52. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life.
Let's pray. Eternal Heavenly Father, you sit upon your throne in heaven with the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, by your side, interceding for us. And oh, how it pleases you that we should worship the Lamb, that we should crown him with many crowns, and that we gladly do, because he died for your people. He died to bring eternal life. He's the matchless king, the one who holds sway over the events of this world, the one whose reign shall know no end. He's the Lord of life itself, the one who triumphed over the grave, the one who rose victorious over death to give us victory over our final enemy. We adore him, for he's Lord of love. The wounds in his hands and feet and side are proof of that fact. His body broken, his blood shed for all who would believe. And so with the hymn writer, we join together in our praise. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise shall never, never fail throughout eternity. Lord Jesus, you are the altogether lovely one, and your people know this to be true. And it's before such a great God we bow, acknowledging our great need, grateful that you have pledged that whosoever comes to you should not be turned away. And we come with shame filling our hearts as we remember the promises we made to you, the vows we made, which we so quickly failed to keep. We come with shame when we think of our failures and shortcomings. We come confessing that we have made decisions without consulting you, and then we've blamed you when things went wrong. We've said we've trusted you, yet we've not turned our affairs over to you. We've often sought the easy way and have consistently drawn back from the road that is hard. Lord, forgive us for all the intentions we had but never fulfilled. We work so hard at polishing the front we put forward for those around us to see, that front that does not deceive you. For you know every thought, you know every motive. Lord, cleanse our hearts. Before the cross, we are so aware of our sinfulness. We thank you that you are willing to forgive, but not without a price, the price you paid on Calvary's Hill. And we too must pay a price if we would know your peace, the price of a full confession, the price of real repentance. Lord, make us willing to pay that price. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for us. Be pleased to use us to bring light to this dark world, to bring life to a struggling world, to bring joy to a despairing world. Show us our weakness so we can rely on your strength. Show us the limits of this world so we can proclaim the beauty of the world to come, and at the same time bring some of that world into this world. Lord Jesus, help us tonight to respond to your great sacrifice. Help us to respond to the preached word. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Son, for this.
such dying love.
In this Good Friday service, we now turn our thoughts particularly to what happened nearly 2,000 years ago on the cross. And the gospel writer, John, wrote his gospel that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, and that by believing in Jesus, we might have life, real life in his name. But you say, as you tune into this Good Friday service, how is it that I can have real life? Well, through what Jesus does on the cross on Good Friday, he fulfills some of the words that he said earlier in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 14, verse 6. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one can come to the Father unless they come through me. And so on the cross on this Good Friday, Jesus will open up the way. Jesus will show he is the truth. Jesus will open up a way of life for all that would come to him and for all that would believe in his name. But on Good Friday, he must show his passion. And so for a few moments, I want you to consider the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sentenced to death. He would be crucified as a criminal, and he would be buried in a tomb. The first thing we see in this gospel in John chapter 19, verses 1 to 16, is that Jesus, he's sentenced to death. In John 19, 1, then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They mocked Jesus. They scourged Jesus. They beat Jesus. They didn't believe in him. The crowds who had cried out, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, just a matter of days before this, are now not shouting out that Jesus is king. Rather, they're saying he's a criminal and desire him to be crucified. Listen to how this little scene finishes. Verse 15, they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. And Pilate responded, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. So Pilate delivered him over to be crucified. Jesus Christ on this Good Friday was crucified because he claimed to be the Son of God. Because he claimed to be the king. Little did the chief priests and the religious leaders and Pilate know that day that Jesus was not just being crucified for being king of the Jews. No, Jesus Christ was being crucified because he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. Out of his passion, he's sentenced to death. Out of his passion, secondly, he's crucified as a criminal. It says in verse 16, so they took Jesus and he went out bearing his own cross to the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him and with two others, one on either side and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Can you see this scene? Jesus here hanging on a cross at Golgotha with two criminals either side of him. But Jesus, the man in the middle, is the only sinless man that has ever lived. Truly God and truly man. The innocent man standing in the place for sinners like you and me. Pilate orders Jesus to be crucified, and many of the Jews read this inscription. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but rather that this man said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I've written, I've written. And when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments, divided them into four parts, one part for each other, also his tunic. The tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, Let us not tear it, but cast lots for to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things. Jesus, out of his passion, he sentenced to death. Jesus, on Good Friday, out of his passion, is crucified as a criminal. But why? Because in order for there to be a way back to God the Father, for in order there to be a new and living way that Jews and Gentiles and people from every tribe and tongue and nations and language can receive new life in Jesus, Jesus had to die. Peter, as an older godly man, reflects on what actually happens spiritually at the cross. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, Peter pens these amazing words, speaking of Jesus. He himself bore our sin on his own body on the tree, so that we might die to our sins and live for righteousness. For it's by his wounds we are healed. Christ's sacrificial death was an atoning sacrifice for the payment of sin. He was, as said earlier in John's Gospel, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. And if you tonight believe in Jesus and believe that he's paid the penalty for your sin and for mine, listen to the amazingly good news. Paul, again, as an older man, writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. All of that is available to us because of what Christ did on the cross, justifying sinners like you and me from the wrath of God. On this Good Friday, out of his passion, sentenced to death. Out of his passion, crucified on the cross as an innocent man and yet as a criminal in the eyes of the world. And lastly, out of his passion, buried in a tomb. Verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to its mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. You say, what was finished? The payment for sin had been paid. The wrath of a holy and a righteous God against sin had been totally paid for through what Christ had done on the cross. Another gospel writer tells us what happens, not at Golgotha, but maybe a mile or two away in the city, in the holy city, in the temple where the presence of God was said to dwell, that at the moment Jesus died and cried out, it is finished, that the curtain in the temple tore from top to bottom, because now Jesus was the new temple. The temple in the old city, it was obsolete. Jesus was the new and the living way. And through Jesus, we have access to God. This is Friday. Jesus has been sentenced. Jesus has been crucified. And as this chapter 19 finishes, we find that he's buried in a tomb. You can understand how the disciples must have been feeling downcast, distressed as to all that has happened and wondering what is going to happen next. But it's only Friday. Sunday is coming. And on Sunday, Jesus will not just show that he is the way, the truth, and the life, but Jesus will fulfill the words that he's already said about himself in John chapter 11. If you join us again on Sunday, you'll discover that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. On this Good Friday, we would love you as two churches joining together at Hamilton Road Baptist and Hamilton Road Presbyterian Church as a Christian to worship Jesus afresh. And if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, come to him today. Come to him while he may be found.
Thank you. Matthew 27:54. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what had took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly this was the Son of God."
Finally, as we come to the end of our service, let me thank Johnny, those who have shared in the service, and the background team for making it possible. And thank you for joining us. I wish you God's blessing over this Easter season, and pray that you may know the peace of Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the power of the cross. And we pray that you will draw us to your cross, which brings forgiveness, that we may be cleansed. Lord, draw us to your cross, which brings light, that we may have vision. Lord, draw us to your cross, which brings love, that we may have compassion. Lord, draw us to your cross, which brings life, that we may live for you. Lord, draw us to yourself and to each other, one body in heaven and on earth. And then to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests, to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power for ever and ever. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.